Why this works. Bechamel is the first French sauce that asks you to manage three things at once: fat, starch, and heat. And it teaches you why all three matter. The roux is the trick at the bottom of the recipe. Flour added directly to a hot liquid clumps into starchy pellets that won't disperse. Flour cooked first into melted butter, instead, gets each granule coated in fat. When the milk arrives, the fat-coated granules disperse evenly, no lumps. The same physics is why a slurry, cornstarch shaken in cold water, thickens cleanly, while raw flour shaken into hot water never will. The cookout matters. Once the milk goes in, the sauce is thin. It thickens not by reducing, though some water does evaporate, and in that sense the cookout is reduction adjacent, but by gelatinization. The starch granules absorb the liquid around them and swell into soft beads. That swelling is what makes the sauce coat a spoon. It happens between roughly 65 and 85 degrees Celsius, which is why a sauce at a low simmer thickens reliably, while one at a hard boil tends to scorch before it sets. Bechamel is also technically an emulsion. Butter fat dispersed in the water phase of milk, with the gelatinized starches doing the stabilizing work that an egg yolk does in mayonnaise. That's why it tastes rounder and feels coatier than a flour water slurry of the same thickness. The 1:1:16 ratio, butter, flour, milk by weight, is the starting point, not a law. For a lasagna binding, you might push to 1:1:14 for a thicker pour. For a soup base, 1:1:20. The ratio you adjust, the technique stays the same. Common mistakes. Browning the roux. Target white roux, color of pale cream, no further. About 2 minutes cooking. Why it matters? Bechamel needs white roux. Past pale cream, the sauce will be tinted and the flavor picks up nutty toasted notes. Fine for velouté, wrong for bechamel. What to do? Cook butter plus flour just until foamy and smelling like biscuits. Pull from heat at pale cream color. Workarounds. For paler result, use clarified butter. No milk solids to brown. Adding cold milk to hot roux. Target, warm milk added in stages to the hot roux, whisking constantly. Why it matters? Cold liquid hitting hot fat causes the fat to seize and starches to release in clumps. Lumpy sauce. What to do? Pre-warm milk on the stove or in microwave. Add 1/3 at a time, whisking until smooth before next addition. Workarounds. Lumpy already? Pass through a fine sieve or use an immersion blender briefly. High heat throughout. Target, low-medium heat for the entire cookout. Whisk often to lift the bottom. Why it matters? Bechamel scorches at the bottom long before the surface shows signs. Slow and steady prevents the burn. What to do? Heavy-bottomed pan. Constant whisking, especially scraping the bottom corners. Workarounds for unattended cooking. Double boiler. Slower, but virtually impossible to scorch. Undercooking. Target? Simmer 8+ minutes after thickening. Why it matters? Under 8 minutes, the sauce tastes pasty like raw flour. Starches haven't fully gelatinized. The texture feels thick before the flavor catches up. What to do? Cook longer than feels necessary. Taste should not taste of raw flour. Workarounds. For deeper flavor, simmer 15 minutes with a halved onion studded with cloves. Classic technique. Stopping when thick. Target, pull from heat when sauce is slightly looser than your target final consistency. Why it matters. Bechamel continues thickening as it cools. Pulled at perfect, too thick at serving. What to do? Aim for slightly loose. Cool slightly and reassess. Workarounds. Too thick? Whisk in a splash of warm milk to thin. What to look for? The roux, foams, smells of biscuits, color of cream. Past pale gold means too dark for bechamel. First milk addition, thick paste. This is normal. Whisk it smooth before adding more milk. Mid-simmer, still pourable, coats the spoon. The sauce is gradually thickening. Don't rush it. Done. A clean line on the back of a wooden spoon. Drag your finger across. The line holds for a second. That's a coating-grade bechamel. If the sauce ever turns lumpy, don't panic. Most lumps disappear with another minute of vigorous whisking. If they don't, pour through a fine mesh strainer. You'll catch the stubborn ones and arrive at the same texture by another route. Chef's view. There are several views on milk temperature for bechamel. Jacques Pepin's modern method uses cold milk poured all at once with a fast whisk. The speed of the whisk does the lump prevention work that warming the milk would have done. The classical French school warms the milk and adds it in stages. They both work. My view? Warmish milk, gradually, with attention. Pepin's method is faster, but it punishes any lapse. A moment of slowed whisking, and you have lumps. The gradual method is more forgiving for a home cook who might step away to check the timer. The finished sauce is identical either way. The difference is in how strict the moment-to-moment work has to be. The other quiet judgment call is nutmeg. Classically, it goes in. A small pinch lifts the milk fat and adds a register of warmth. Modern French cooks often skip it. I keep it for bechamel destined for gratins, where the depth helps, and skip it for bechamel going into a delicate lasagna or as a base for a souffle, where I want the dairy to speak alone. Chef test notes. I tested this sauce three ways. Cold milk added all at once, warm milk added gradually, roux cooked slightly longer before adding milk. The difference was not dramatic, but the longer cooked roux gave the sauce a cleaner flavor and slightly less raw flour aroma. A note on history. The sauce is named after Louis de Bechamel, 1630 to 1703, the Marquise de Noitel, who served as chief steward, maître d'hôtel, to Louis XIV's court at Versailles. The legend says the sauce was created in his honor. The truth is messier. François-Pierre Lavarenne's 1651 Le Cuisinier François, the cookbook that effectively defined French classical cuisine, already described a similar veal and milk preparation, a generation before bechamel rose to court prominence. The Marquise was the politically convenient name the dish was attached to. Versailles ran on patronage, and giving a sauce the name of a senior court figure was the 17th century equivalent of putting a wealthy donor's name on a building. The form we know today crystallized later. Antonin Carême, 1784 to 1833, classified bechamel as one of the four mother sauces of French cuisine, the foundational sauces from which 100 others could be derived. Auguste Escoffier kept the structure in his 1903 Le Guide Culinaire and refined the proportions. The 1:1:16 by weight ratio in this recipe is essentially Escoffier's, slightly adapted for home dairy. So, a sauce that began as a thicker veal preparation in the mid-1600s was given a courtier's name for political reasons and was then taxonomized as a mother sauce by Carême, is what every European kitchen quietly reproduces 370 years later when it wants something pale and silky to bind a lasagna or sit under a gratin.